Good evening. Welcome to Burlington East. If you are a visitor or a newcomer, we're especially pleased to see you this evening. And we invite you to please sign the visitor's book at the front entrance before you leave. My name is Stephen Shields, and I'm one of the elders here at Burlington East. The only announcement that I have this evening concerns tomorrow. As you may know, on Christmas Day for the last 11 years, we've been holding a community Christmas Day dinner. It's served between 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock. And so if you need some company on Christmas Day, this would be a good place to come. As I say, anywhere served between 12 and 2. If you want something a little extra, come a bit earlier, come at 11:30. And here in the sanctuary, we will be having a half hour of carol singing. So maybe see you tomorrow.
Our service tonight is formatted very much like a regular Sunday service. So if you're a regular attender here, you're going to recognize the format. There is no bulletin that's been printed, clearly, because you have no pieces of paper like you had yesterday. But you never know what might happen. Nonetheless, everything's going to be up on the screen tonight, and I'm using all my technology I can possibly muster here. So if I'm poking at my phone, it's not because I'm on social media, it's because I'm controlling the screen with a new piece of software I got just today. So let's hope it works. We're going to start this evening with our call to worship, and for that I'm going to call on Donna Bowden.
People of light, God in Christ desires a heaven and an earth reconciled in a new people, a new creation.
In
God in Christ longs for people unafraid to leave old ways behind for the paths of faithfulness.
In Christ
God in Christ yearns for people with bold and joyful hearts, proclaiming the birth, the death, the rising, and the glory of Christ our King. Let us pray together.
Everlasting God with us, Christ our light, Spirit our guide, we welcome your brightness. We abide in hope, peace, joy, and love, and look for your new kingdom on earth. Amen.
Thank you, Donna. We'll join together now in our first hymn together, and you can remain seated for this one. We're going to sing Hark, the Herald Angels sing, number 139, if you do want to look it up in your hymn books, but it again will be up here on the screen. As I say very often on Sunday mornings, when we come to this point in our service, this is the time when we come to thank God and invite God into our service and into our midst, and also to come before God with our prayers of confession for the sins that we have committed. And, you know, every time I say that phrase, I stumble around it because, you know, confession of sin sounds very formal, and it's loaded with all kinds of, I'm going to use that word, baggage, so to speak, that when we hear the word sin in the modern world today, we don't like to hear that as much because of all that baggage that's associated with it. God asks us to walk a particular way, a way that is to shine His light, a light that we've recognized with these candles, for instance. And often we don't want to walk that way. Often we choose other ways. What is that way? Well, it is a way that brings light to others and shows God's love at all times. So there are times when we trip and fall. There are times when we stumble off that path. It's this time when we come before God to say, I repent, another big word. Now, all repent means is turn around and go the other way. Stop doing what I've been doing and do something new. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Living God, on this holy night, we gather to stand with symbolically with the shepherds who are amazed at your glory, to sing with those angels rejoicing in your work, to wait with Joseph trusting in your promise, to sit with Mary cradling your love. Lord, may the good news of this night inspire us to tell the world of your great joy, for unto us a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born. Glory and praise to you as we invite you into our midst. But as we do that, Lord, we also consider there are times when your grace has not been foremost in our lives, when your way has not been what we have chosen. There have been times we have chosen to cling to the glories of this present age, the worldly passions and self-indulgent activities, maybe. Or maybe we didn't say a kind word when we should have. Sin is a big word, even though it's only got three letters. But it's what keeps us from you. Redeem us from this evil sin and cleanse us through Christ, who gave himself for us so that we truly can be your people. Help us, Lord, to understand and to know what it is to repent, to turn and choose your way. Guide us and forgive us, we pray in Jesus' name. And now we gather in the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear this good news of great joy, people in Christ. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Thank you, choir. We are so richly blessed with a choir that they're small in numbers in some respects, but very mighty, and I thank you so much. That's a lovely way to start off our service, and it wraps around much of what we'll be doing tonight. We're going to sing our next hymn, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. And you know what? I made the slides, but I can't see them from here. So I want to get this right because I don't think I did last time. Okay, please remain seated. Technology, it's great when it works. So let's remain seated. I think the last one said stand, didn't it? Yeah, all right. Well, it's good you're listening to me. That's a good thing. That's good. I like that. Well, we remain seated this time, and we'll sing together now, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. As we prepare to hear the scriptures read this evening, let's just bow our heads for a moment in prayer and invite the Spirit of God in our midst. Loving God, by the gift of your Spirit, we pray right now that you teach us to treasure your words, to do as we read about yesterday, as Mary did, to ponder your words, ponder, to think about them, to consider them, to let them grow within us and within our hearts. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. Amen. I'll call on George Rogerson to come up and read our psalm.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, is to be feared above all gods. Fear all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yea, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the wood sing for joy. Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth.
Thank you, George. I now call on Ray Paquette to read our reading from Isaiah, where we prophesy about Jesus.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Thank you, Ray. Technology was at my not working so well, but we're all right. We're good. Those two readings talk about the great things that are about to happen. The psalm is talking about praise, and the Isaiah reading is talking about what Jesus is going to be for us and how what he represents at Christmas. And the reading that I've chosen tonight for the gospel reading is lengthy, and I do so intentionally. It's two gospel readings. The first one is in Luke, and the second one is in Matthew. And my very, very short sermon that I'm going to deliver tonight, I promise, is going to connect that dots for us a little bit. This is the story that we very often hear, and I want to read that out. First from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house of the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went to Bethlehem to see this thing that had taken place. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who was born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, or so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen it rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God. We join together now in our next hymn, our carol, and does it say stand? Yeah, it does. We're going to stand for this one, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Please be seated. We have been talking for the last number of weeks about the candles that we light during Advent and certainly on Christmas Eve. And we have four candles, and each one traditionally represents a different aspect of the reflections that we do during Advent. And as I think I mentioned this just yesterday, one of the reasons that Christmas was banned at one point in Europe because there was too much partying and too much carrying on, and there wasn't enough focus on our faith. And sometimes you wonder, maybe that's almost the reason for it again, I suppose, because we do lose some of the purpose and point to it in one sense. When they brought it back, they wanted to build a connection between the Christmas celebration and Easter. And in Easter, we have a period of Lent where people would go on a fast, maybe, or would spend time praying, spend time reflecting their walk with Christ. And so we have these four Sundays in Advent where we are doing that. We're thinking about God's hope, God's peace, God's joy, and God's love. And that pink candle represents the joy, and there's a pink candle also during Advent. So we see a lot of similarities in the structure as to what's going on. We all have different ways in which we remember the day of Christmas. We all have our own story that we tell, and we have our own way of gathering together as family and friends and individuals and churches. In fact, most churches, I would say, are not the same. If we went to another Presbyterian church here tonight even, we'd see a very different service taking place. We think that everybody does church like we do, but it's different. And that's okay, that's fine. We have our own unique way of expressing things. And I say that because even the gospel writers, when they were telling the story of Jesus, had their own way of telling it. They wrote these biographies, if you like, stories that attempted to showcase the identity and the significance of Jesus, and they did it each in their own way, that the way that they remembered Christmas, the day that Jesus entered the world. Luke, as we read from tonight, gives us that classic Christmas story that we see often in children's pageants, even on Charlie Brown. I think Linus recites part of Luke. And you've likely heard that story many, many times. Luke talks of Mary and her sister Elizabeth, which we read yesterday, talking to them and letting them know that they were going to bear children. He tells how there was no room for Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, so they gave birth to Jesus, and we have that symbolically here with our manger scene. And we have shepherds. Well, we don't have shepherds here at the front today. I'll be the shepherd, I guess. But we do have angels, and we do have somebody else that's mentioned in another gospel. The Gospel of Matthew talks about Joseph being visited by an angel who informed him about the son his wife was going to give birth to and told him to calm down. Don't get too excited. It's all right. But what we read tonight in that story was the Magi, the wise men, who recognized the baby Jesus as King of the Jews, often looked at as the next Sunday would be the Epiphany Sunday, where the world first recognized Jesus entering. Mark's gospel doesn't even mention anything about Jesus' birth. Instead, he begins the story about Jesus with John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin who prepared the way for him by preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. And then there comes John's gospel. He doesn't mention angels. He doesn't mention shepherds. He doesn't even talk about Mary or Joseph or wise men. John assumes that we, the readers, already know those stories. Instead of retelling them from his perspective, he gives us an introduction to a story about Jesus that's full of poetry and images and metaphors. And all of them help summarize the significance of Jesus' mission and entrance into this world, summed up by these candles. They're lit. They're giving off a light. And John talks about the light that came into the world that existed before it even was created. He talks about Jesus being that light. And it's the Apostle John who gives us one of those clearest images, as I said, of what Christmas is really all about. It's an image that has its roots in the Old Testament prophecies. It's an image that Jesus himself used to describe his mission. It's an image that we, by lighting these candles, also celebrate. It's an image of the good news that we want to walk out of here tonight, remembering and proclaiming. John reminds us that at Christmas, along with the other gospel readings, John reminds us that we celebrate that Jesus is the light of the world, who came to extinguish darkness. What a weird way to put that. The light is extinguishing darkness. John's very clear about that. It chases the darkness away. The light that extinguishes the darkness. And in these opening sentences of John's gospel, his biography of Jesus, he reminds us that Jesus was present at the creation. He isn't merely a man who had just a humble birth in a stable. Jesus is God and existed before all else did. And it was at creation that Jesus gave light and life to all people. For even at that time, he was the light of the world. And in the beginning, the world was full of life because it was full of light. God the Father, through Jesus, created humanity in his image so that we could be in relationship with him. And everything at that point was good and full of that shining light. We know that everything didn't remain as God created it if we look at the book of Genesis. Instead, Adam and Eve broke their relationship with God when they disobeyed him. And immediately they knew what they'd done wasn't right because they went and hid in the darkness. So they didn't have to see that shining face of God. But God sought them out because he didn't want them to live in the shadows. He didn't want them living in darkness. He told them that he loved them. And ever since then, he's been trying to have his children live in that light rather than in darkness. But humans have continued to separate themselves from the light of God. We've exchanged our relationship with God for so many other things, it seems. Human beings throughout time have chosen to separate themselves from the light that God gave. Instead, live in the darkness that God's trying to extinguish. Now, in preparing this today, this is always the tough sermon from a minister's perspective. I'll give you the behind the curtain for Oz, I guess you want to call it that. Because this is the show, isn't it? This is where the minister's got people coming who don't come all the time. And you got to just get that great sermon out there because you got one shot at it, maybe again in Easter. And I had written down a lot of things and ideas, but I wanted to take a moment to share something very special for me and something that I know is very special to many people in our congregation. We know that Tom Sotheby's in hospital and not doing real well, but I was in to see him today, and he gave me a gift. And I'm looking at you, Susan, on purpose. He gave me a gift, and it was a light. Tom was awake and smiling, and he was struggling to talk. And Tom is in dire straits, folks. He really is. But I walked in the room, and the first thing he tried to say, he said to me, it was hard to get out, slow down. You're really rushing too much. Tom was all worried about me. Wow, that's sharing light. That's Christmas. This man's dying in a hospital. And his worry wasn't about him, wasn't about even his family that were there, or Mike, who was sitting beside him. It was, you're rushing too much, Bruce, slow down. And I took that way, and I got in my car when I was leaving, and I was tearing up pretty good. Tom gave me a wonderful, wonderful gift. He didn't even get up to do it. He just laid there, waving his arms at me and stuff. He shone a light that God, and he extinguished the darkness that was there, that I was feeling for him. We need to be doing that. Our moments tonight, we celebrate that God didn't leave us in the dark. He's given us each other. He's given us the light of life. He sent his Son so that we could celebrate tonight, that we could celebrate the light that Christ brings that extinguishes all darkness. And even when things are not looking great, that light can shine brightly. So what I learned in this particular lesson and in what Tom shared with me today is the light of Christ isn't for me. It's for me. I have to give it away. I have to shine it out. It's like that song, right? You don't want to put it under a bushel. You want it to shine on a hill. And that's what we're going to do tonight as we move through our service and we share that light and take it out with us. God bless you during this Christmas time, and may the light of Christ bless you and touch your heart, each in your own special ways. Amen. Join together now in our next carol together. Good Christians all rejoice. Please remain seated for this one. At this time now, we'll present our offerings and tithes to God. Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Great God, we ask that you will accept these gifts that we offer as we wait in hope for your coming again. Use all that we have and all that is we are to bring light into every dark place, to ease heavy burdens, and to turn our endless warring into endless peace. Bless that offering, Lord, that it may be used to these ends. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Join together now in our next hymn, and we ask you to please stand if you're able for this one. We'll sing Joy to the World, number 153. Please be seated. Now, something else that we do on Sunday mornings regularly, and I know I've been very blessed by this particular way in which we pray for others, is we take a moment and we think of everybody in this room, as I say every Sunday, Everybody in this room knows somebody that's in need. Somebody that is failing in some respect maybe, or is having a struggle in their life of some kind. We all know somebody. And this is the time to say that name or think that name. You can say it out loud, as many of our people do, or you can keep it to yourself. God knows and hears. But we remember Tom, as I mentioned Tom already. We want to keep him and his family in prayer. We remember Ann Bone, who's also in a hospital after a fall. And just before the service this morning, I was told about a 48-year-old man, young, Corey, who got pneumonia and has now been put on life support. Relative of one of our church members here, not a church member here, but a relative of one of our church members, and I was asked to mention his name. So we all know someone that's in dire straits. Let's take a moment now and let's bow our heads and pray for the people in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the great news of the great joy that you give to all people. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and he lived among us and now reigns on high. We thank you for his light that shines in that darkness and casts it away, extinguishes it. But we also know, very real sense, Lord, that there are people who are still struggling in darkness in some ways. And that darkness can manifest itself in a health issue. It could be a loss of a job. It could be any kind of a loss. And we've mentioned already a few names, Tom and Ann and this young fellow, Corey. We hold them up to you, Lord. And we ask for your intervention to take place, for that light to extinguish the darkness that's in their life. People tonight, we can think of sort of in that bigger picture, there are people tonight who feel alone, maybe far from home, maybe feeling quite dark. Light them up, Lord. Light up their lives. And now, Lord, as we do on Sundays, we take a moment and we think of and we say out loud people in need in our lives. Lord, your act in this is truly miraculous. And it's also a mystery, this act of prayer, this responsibility and this blessing that you give us. We hold all of these names spoken out loud and said silently in our hearts. We put them in your care, Lord. We trust you with them. I thank you, Lord, that this congregation is a congregation that prays for people, that takes it seriously and sees results. This is shining a light in the darkness. This is living the life that Christ calls us to. And we pray all of this through his name, because he is our Savior, our Emmanuel, our Messiah. Amen. Thank you, Paul. As I said, we're very, very blessed with a lovely choir, and the music that they've selected has been very special. As we draw this service to a close, we have an annual tradition that we participate in this congregation, and that is to take the light that we've been talking about that extinguishes the darkness and to symbolically take that out into the world, because that's our challenge as Christians. And we're going to do that. And there's been debate back and forth. I'll give you another behind the curtain with Oz here about, do we light real candles or do we use these little tea lights that we have? And I'll tell you a reason I like the tea lights, because we can take them out into the world much easier than we can those candles. And they last all year, trust me, I've still got mine. And you can light them up anytime you want to. But what's really neat, if you can think of it tonight, put it on the dashboard of your car as you're driving home. And people can see all the cars going out, taking that light. And I know people have commented in the past with seeing these cars coming out, how nice it looks. So we're going to do that now. I'm going to call forward all the folks that are going to hand these out. And hope. Nope. I better do two and two. Okay, I got one more coming. You take that one. Take that one. But don't go anywhere yet. Because what I want you to do is, because I said earlier, that light isn't for me, it's for the person next to me. So I'm going to get Bob to light mine and give it back to me, symbolically. Somebody had to start, I guess. And I'm gonna take one, and I'm gonna light it for Bob. And I'm gonna light one for Stephen. Light one for you. And light one for you. And a light one for you. So what I want you to do is light one, take one. Light one, take one. Does that work? Let's try that. And Renato will play, and we'll get the lights dimmed, and we're gonna join together after everybody's got their lights ready. Sorry, we'll sing Silent Night together after that's been done. Our Christmas elves have been busy up on the back. You can see it. Bob's been lighting them up on the edge. I think we've just about got everybody, and we'll just keep passing those out as we begin. We're going to remain seated, and we're going to let our light shine, and we're going to sing Silent Night, and just let this moment just fall on us and fill us, and let this light extinguish the darkness, as we've been talking about. Let's remain seated and sing together Silent Night. Bless you all, and I wish you all a Merry Christmas. Go out this night in joy and hope with the songs of angels on your lips to tell. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. You have the light of Christ. Let it shine this night and always in all of your lives. And now may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the joy of the Holy Spirit abide with you this night, this holy night, and forever. Amen. We wish you a Merry Christmas, everybody, and we'll see you at the back door. Merry Christmas. Thank you, George. Thank you, Stephen.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah.